Take hold. Engage. You are now entering the Cerebro Podcast. Thought of the day comes from Mark Twain. Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear. Joke of the day. When is rage a powerful and positive tool? Answer. When it becomes a powerful engine that you can put some letters in front of and turn it into courage. Welcome to the sixth episode. Thank you for joining me today. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I have struggled with mental health, especially as a kid, because I didn't measure up to the same speed or flexibility other people had. Therefore, I developed a mentality for twisted words and phrases. It started with oxymorons. Oxy means sharp. Moron means dull. Needless to say, with crutches, I wouldn't exactly act naturally. More specifically, I couldn't act like people expected me to in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s because people didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect from my body either at times. Trying to conform to a standard that I couldn't reach was like Sisyphus. Sisyphus was a character from Greek mythology that was condemned to the futile exercise of pushing a boulder uphill only to have it roll downhill thousands and thousands of times. Albert Camus, the existential philosopher, wrote The Myth of Sisyphus. He was an existentialist. Existentialism was the belief that many of the social conventions and routines are absurd or lack meaning. It is therefore up to the individual to create or fill meaning in one's life. Therefore, a person is not held to a social contract or conformity for the sake of it. I gravitated toward existentialism because of the individuality it allowed. It also stressed an honest and authentic expression. Disoriented was how I felt through the normal scope of life because of most of the feedback I received. I got that for most of my life from conventional wisdom sources like school, church, and parents, etc. Find conventional norms and stick to them. That's the message I often received and felt. Being weird was not only viewed as different, but it was viewed as wrong because it embarrassed many people around me, especially my parents. Other people couldn't see what I saw. Through my existential journey in high school, I began to see things differently. Because I couldn't fit into the conformity container that expressly existed, I had to change the composition of characters. Composition, as I defined it, was changing the lettering placement or the communication position. It was more than an oxymoron. My dyslexia disposition helped me develop a dysmorphic definition. The first word I applied this discombobulation process to was the word weird. Weird to me just meant that I was wired differently. As I got older, I started separating words like disorientation and altruistic. Disorientation sometimes described how I felt when I tried to conform. It also described the surprise or discomfort that others felt around me. Altruistic was an SAT word which meant the concern for the welfare of others. I redefined it to mean that all is true with my sticks or crutches. I began pursuing poetry with the profusely potent processing purpose. The three-dimensional disability documentation of poetry provided exponential expression beyond mere mathematical methods. Not only could I understand the language layers, but the symbolism of poetry revealed some of the destructive depths words had on me. Words were worse than sticks and stones. Here are a few grammatically graphic expression examples of some poetry I wrote. These were written over 20 years ago. Some of the poetry has unpleasant understandings that were meant to constructively convey criticism. The first poem I wrote was The Mental Bone. I will read this one and a couple of others too. Just a warning to listeners that the poems do contain a lot of imagery and emotion. The Mental Bone by Robert Targos, written in 1998. An insult cuts far deeper than any piece of wood or rock sediment possibly ever could. The person who came up with this simple adage apparently had many surface wounds to bandage. He must have had frequent painful trips, which often caused his precious flesh to rip. Did you stumble on this wicked maxim? That would be what I would ask him. People probably admired this brilliant thinker, but he was most likely a run-of-the-mill hoodwinker. It is impossible not to look up at this philosophical man. When I took my head from the spot where I land, eventually, after other people constantly put me down, the smile I once had evolves into a frown. Turn that frown upside down, people often say. But it is difficult to reverse the sadness when the dirt is where I lay. As the filth builds up day by day, the earth continues to be where I stay. Buried beneath the words of repeated discontent, the blood drains, and therefore my heart has an irreparable dent. Left to die, my soul starts to decay as people turn in fear and just walk away. So I say, go ahead, pick up a branch or hoist a stone instead of those insults you have previously thrown. I dare you to take your best shot, because my body is more than what I've got. A stick or stone may cause an occasional injury, but nothing that can't be fixed by simple surgery. Therefore, broken bones don't matter to me, as long as my fractured spirit can one day be set free. Here is the next poem. Poetic Purging, written in 1998. Some people who have heard these words before say I lash out with a scratching roar. It's good that my spit makes you hit the floor, so my message becomes impossible to ignore. My emotions spill out in a pour to expose who I am at the core. I know it sounds like I'm heavily obsessed, but that's just how the damage is processed. It may seem like I have a chip on my shoulder, but truthfully, the experiences have made me bolder. When I choose to speak, it comes from a place that is very unique. As I let go of my hidden anger, my troubled insides begin to stir. The images I expose are profoundly dark, and the expressions are honestly stark. After I perform thoughtful excavations, I let you experience the putrid associations. Armed with an utterly unpleasant phrase, my mouth moves with targeted sprays. Now you know the horrors I went through, because with slicing speed, it finally hits you. I hope I have made some facts clear. As we finish this journey, I cautiously steer. I refuse to apologize until the world is viewed with more open eyes. I hope the memories your mind has screened have given you the chance to be redeemed. If not, you will fall beneath the unknown and the pain I can no longer postpone. The reason why I have maintained control is so that I could reach my ideal goal. The reason why these vivid images hurt is simply to cause a beneficial growth spurt. Believe it or not, I have healed because my life is no longer concealed. By showing off the wounds, I hope you feel that the powerful pain is undeniably real. I pray that you understand why I write, and I hope this explanation is not still trite. After sharing my plight, I am filled with a higher sense of delight because I have given you unfamiliar insight. After one last message, I will finally conclude. With your mind, I have thoughtfully screwed. To eliminate your former attitude and replace it with a spirit that has been renewed. With a generous helping of thoughtful food. Needle of Acceptance, written in 1998. I try to walk through the hole, but I can't because of my metal poles. I try to thread my body through it, but because of my disability, I can't do it. There is no way to enter the narrow minds, because in those surroundings, people are blind. I wish I could expand the tunnel vision, but I guess that it has become my ongoing mission. Through the door, I try to fit, hoping then somehow I will feel legitimate. I know I will never be the same. Because of the looks, I feel tremendous shame. I must do everything I possibly can to go inside, because until then, the fear I cannot override. I will fight until others see my pride, and until that happens, I will not be satisfied. Unfortunately, I cannot become a piece of thread, so you must change the image in your head. If you don't, you will be misled by the many stereotypes society has fed. The last one is The Rocky Road. It doesn't matter to me where I start, because I know the level of determination that existed in my heart. Soon after, I spread my legs apart. I needed to believe in myself and then depart. Once in my mind, I heard the haunting bell. I knew I had to endure this treacherous hell. It may look like a path of harmless travel, but it is still littered with dangerous gravel. The size didn't matter, since every pebble quickly blew up into a mountain of trouble. Even though the pieces were relatively small, they didn't feel that way during my big fall. It caused my body to be painfully alert through the wounding trip down to the dirt. At first, I was scared to refill the trust, but that was the only way I was going to finally abandon the dust. Then I decided to get off the ground and fight with it for another round. That's when I discovered the power of my inner force, and I wanted to conquer this adverse obstacle course. With the eye of the tiger, I went on the attack to inscribe my initials and scratch Mother Nature back. During this unsteady fight, I gained some valuable insight. To claim victory, you need to begin.
There is no alternative way to win.
When faced with a problem, you need to dig in and let your heart expose your thick skin.
I hope you learned from and appreciated today's episode. I know that mental health is not something to be taken lightly.
What are some powerful words in your life that you use? Two of the words, for example, that I use, one is fierce, fear, C-E. And the other word is confidencity, confidence and density, confidencity. Thank you for allowing me to be a voice inside your head. I would love to hear your thoughts. Please share the episode with someone you know. You can listen to the show on Podbean, iTunes, and Google Play. The show is also now on Spotify. Shout out to all the listeners on the Cerebral Podcast Facebook group. You can also email the show at thecerebralpodcast@gmail.com to send questions, comments, or ideas for the show. You can also follow the show on Twitter at the hashtag TheCerebralPodcast. And remember, it takes effort to be vulnerable, be accountable, and be respectful in the way you treat others and yourself. You can be the biggest variable in your life when you take ownership.
Now, take hold, engage in your world. You are now leaving the Cerebral Podcast.